Hello, I'm Robin Boyce, and this is City Corner. Today, we're going to learn how to write that book and get it published, and we're going to look at getting St. Louis financially fit. We'll be right back. How you doing today? Welcome back to City Corner, and we're going to have a really exciting show. We've got in the studios with us today people who are going to talk with us a little bit about publishing and how to get that book done. You know, you might have something in your heart that you want to do, and with us right now is Ms. Kim Waterman, who's president of Provenance Publishing. Kim will talk about the St. Louis Publishers Association and how to get your book published. Also, Kim teaches classes on this subject with the St. Louis Community College District. We also have with us Ms. Pat Simmons, who is author of several romance novels that I just love. You just do such an awesome job. And now some Christian novels that you're getting under your belt. Pat will talk about making that start on writing that book. And also with us, Mr. Keith Anton Willis Sr. How you doing, Sr.? Founder and CEO of the Ultimate Rainmaker Academy. Keith has developed some tools for teachers in publishing and in helping our teachers get a little bit more wider range of helping their young people in the class. Thank you so much for coming into the studios today to talk with us about publishing and writing that book. Pat, tell us a little bit about what you do and publishing books and helping people. And you also are a member of the St. Louis Publishers Association.
That's correct. Several years ago, when I was looking at writing my first book, I was wondering what do we have in St. Louis that might help me on my process. And I found the St. Louis Publishers Association. And it is a wonderful organization of people who are really willing, able, and want to help authors get their books published.
Are these people who have books already that they've published and they decided we need an organization of all folks who are alike to come together?
Correct, because everybody starts kind of at the same place and we realize the struggle that we had, you know, going through the process. So this organization kind of pulls everybody together, and there are also people within the organization that can help you, like editors and book designers and that type of thing too, that can help. So
Provenance, you have a publishing company that basically helps people publish their books. I mean, how do folks find you?
Well, I actually am really right now only publishing my own books.
Okay.
And I would just like to encourage people, if you have a story that you want to tell, just because all of the existing traditional publishers tell you that they don't want to publish your book, that shouldn't stop you. You can start your own publishing company and publish your book yourself. If you think that story needs to be told, then you should tell it.
So you can start your own company?
Absolutely.
Really? To just get the book out there? Is it that simple, or are there lots of things that you have to go through? Because when I think of publishing companies, I think of those huge folks out of New York City and folks are winding up on the bestsellers list and that kind of thing. So you don't have to go that route all the
right.
time.
Right. Well, it's very difficult to go that route. Mm-hmm. And as the pool of traditional publishers is shrinking, they're being even more particular over which books they're taking.
That's interesting.
I write nonfiction, and I write really specific nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So most publishers, they're not going to be interested in a book like mine because I don't have a huge market.
Okay.
But I still feel like the story needs to be told.
We'll get back to talking about what it is that it is you talk about in your books and what you do that's a little bit different.
Okay.
Pat Simmons, girl, we've known each other for some time now. We go back way back in the day and working at Channel 4 and several other news organizations here in the St. Louis area. And you said then, I'm going to write a book. And how many do you have under your belt now?
I actually have 10 books.
Wow.
And 12 ebooks.
Wow.
I know. Scary.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
How do you do it? What, you know, because one of the books, I forget the title to it, but Lord, I just fell in love with it. And what I like about what you do with your books, they're the background or the backdrop is St. Louis.
Absolutely. We're more than the arch.
Yeah.
We're more than the zoo. And we're more than the St. Louis baseball Cardinals. And so what I try to do is put the hot spots.
You do.
And one lady told me she had recently moved to St. Louis, and she learned her way around by doing the Ferguson walking tour.
One of your books, you talk a lot about the Ferguson-Florissant area,
right.
And you talked about a lot of the historical spots, and it was all surrounded around these lovers and these folks hooking up.
Right.
And it was so really, it really made a big difference just
Thank
to
you.
Know, wow, okay, I know where that place is.
Absolutely.
And these characters are in that park sitting down having a picnic. So is that the impetus for what it is you do?
When I wrote my first book, I had no idea what I was doing, period.
Mm-hmm.
But when a friend of mine called me and asked me, guess where I am? Of course, I had no idea. She actually went to a spot that I listed in the book and ordered the same sandwich that my character ordered. And I said, really? Are readers this serious?
They are very serious.
And so that really encouraged me to continue to put areas in St. Louis that I would want people to visit, either visitors or local people.
Well, you do exactly that, because I mean, in reading your books, I'll sit down and you're talking about a restaurant or an ice cream place or what have you,
yeah.
And I smell the sandwich and everything. You do a very good job of that, along with the characters that are in the story. And we're going to get back to some of the other things, because you're getting into Christian novels as well.
And I've always been there.
You've always had the spiritual bent within your books, but now you've got something else that's about to happen, and you're on your way on a big tour pretty soon, which I think is really exciting.
Yes.
Keith, you have been the who's who of Black St. Louis, I would say, for a better part of how many years now?
10 years.
You published that publication.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And now you're taking a different direction. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. So I've been blessed to be in the publishing side of the business, and now what I've done is I'm into the writing side. I've got my first book already picked up by a publishing company in Los Angeles. It's about sales and everything I've learned about sales, and what I wanted to do was help other people get into the sales profession. And there's an old African proverb that says, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, but teach a man how to fish and he or she will eat for a lifetime. And so I've learned this beautiful game of sales and this profession of sales. I think I'm pretty good at it. And now what I want to do is teach other people how to be in the sales business. And so my first book, The 10 Laws of the Ultimate Rainmaker, will be coming out in the spring, late spring, early summer. And I'm on track. I'm not there where Pat is.
The 10 Laws of the Ultimate Rainmaker.
Of the Ultimate Rainmaker.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and my goal with the 10 is based on the biblical principles of the 10. When I think about 10, that number 10,
sure.
And I want to write 10 books, and
right.
So it's 10 laws. And,
like the 10 commandments.
The 10, exactly, that's what I was looking for, the 10 commandments.
Sure.
So I'm, as a Christian, that's what I based it on, the 10 commandments. And so I want to write 10 books.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, this is the first one. And,
now,
and
are these the
teach.
Tools that you've set up for teachers? Or
exactly.
tell us a little
exactly.
bit about the ultimate.
So what I want to do, in my conversations with you, I told you that I want to then take these 10 laws and share them with teachers and people in academia to be able to teach other people this profession. Only 90 of the sales force, 92% of the sales force in America have no formal training.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying that's a market. So I got in the publishing business not to be on the New York Times best-selling list, but I wanted to be able to sell my books to people, my market, my audience, to use it to train other people how
so
to help themselves.
So you have a specific
so
segment that you're going after that you target?
Yes.
Great. Awesome. Now you have a target. You said that your book's a little bit different, Kim. What about your books that are different that other publishers probably wouldn't pick up?
Well, my first book was Who's Been Sleeping in My Bedroom, Researching the History of a St. Louis County, Missouri Home. So it's
really?
Specifically for researching houses just in St. Louis County.
So it's a historical kind of book that looks at what that house might have been and who was living there in the
it's
past?
It's actually to help you find out who the previous homeowners were in your house. So if you have an historic house and you want to know who used to live in there before you, it walks you through how to find out who those previous homeowners
were. Those are great books for
were.
History's sake, for people to find out where they were, what subdivision that they're in.
It's right.
We have such a rich history here in St. Louis,
we
Missouri.
We do.
That people just don't seem to really appreciate about this city. I mean, we have a pretty good little place where we live here, and we don't look at it, and the whole region, actually. So you look at what's going on with historical homes, and you give people opportunity to find out more about what's happening.
Exactly.
That's great. That is awesome. Now, you have, Pat, have just taken that same kind of flavor, history, and you have combined them within your books.
Right.
What do you do when you sit down and you really decide to get that book on paper?
Well,
what does it take?
I always tell people that your characters have to talk to you in your head first.
Really?
They have to have a conversation first before you write it down.
So you actually go through a scene or something like that?
Absolutely.
To really...
Usually from the beginning, the middle, to the end. And I have gotten in bed, laid my head on that pillow, and all of a sudden my characters want to talk.
Wow.
And I get up and I write it down because it never comes back to you the same way.
Okay.
And that's why the dialogue is fresh. People hear the dialogue. And I've even had people come up to me and say, "You've told my story. How did you know?" And
really?
I'm like, "I don't even know you, but I want it to be so real."
And you do, you make your books real. You really talk to people, and those characters are actually talking to you. It's almost like a, you know, and I always ask you, when are we going to get that movie?
That's a whole different ballgame.
We've got to get the movie script going and everything so we can just produce this thing. Because, I mean, St. Louis has a beautiful backdrop, and we can do this. Mm-hmm. We can do this. Keith, I know we have always talked about pulling that kind of entrepreneurial spirit together with your passion and what you love. So you are doing exactly that. You have decided, this is what I love doing, and I'm not going to work for anybody else anymore at this point in the game. I mean, how successful has that been for you?
It's been very successful. I've had the opportunity to walk away from a 9-to-5 job in 2008 and just do this exclusively. And as an entrepreneur, it's interesting that Pat said that, you know, you get those characters that talk to your head. Things come to you as an entrepreneur, and you don't have a set schedule. I'll be working today till midnight. Sometimes I wake up in the morning at 3 o'clock, and when it hits you, you never get it, so you're always writing. I am not a writer. I am a salesman. So what I had to do is I had to do workshops. I joined the St. Louis Publishers Association. Haven't been to a meeting yet, but I know I want to be a part of that organization because that's where it's going on. And so I'm teaching myself the writing. I know how to sell, but I'm teaching myself the writing. And what I'm doing is putting these practical
things together
to where people can make a difference.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to do
and
make
a
difference in their life.
Well, I wish you the best of luck
in
making the difference. Thank you so much, Pat, for coming on. You got a big tour coming up, and people can go to your website, which we will show on the full screen.
Right.
And Kim, thank you so much. And I would encourage people to look your name up in the Continuing Education's booklets that come out because you're teaching courses through the St. Louis Community Colleges.
Right,
thank
writing
so
and publishing.
Much. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you so much for coming into our studios today. We've got another segment coming up on making St. Louis financially fit.
Kids will spend 15 minutes watching online videos like this one.
Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time.
Experience St. Louis! So, same time next week?
Well, of course.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free tips to help you save, go to Feed the Pig.
The odds of this daughter of a clergyman spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org.
Hi, my name's CJ. A few years ago, my father became seriously ill. I did what I could do before he passed, but it took its toll. I lost my job, my house. I'm getting back on my feet, but I don't know when there'll be food on the table. How'd I do, CJ?
We could be twins.
Well, cousins, maybe.
Play a role in ending hunger. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank.
Welcome back to City Corner. I'm Robin Boyce, and in the studios with me right now, we're going to talk about the financial fitness of the city of St. Louis. With me as my guest are Ms. Vita Jeffrey, who is manager of financial services for Prudential, but she's here to talk with us more about the Unified Day of Pastors to preach to their congregations the importance of financial fitness. Our next guest is Mr. Alex Fenoy. He is Senior Vice President and Community Development Director for Midwest Bank Center. He's here to talk with us about the initiative called Bank On, Save Up. And Fenoy is also co-chair of the St. Louis Regional Unbanked Task Force, and their mission is to get some 20,000 individuals banked by 2015. And we also have with us Ms. Lisa Gates, who is Financial Literacy Community Outreach Coordinator for the Treasurer of the City of St. Louis, and she's here to talk about a new venture that the Treasurer's Office is about to present to the citizens of the City of St. Louis. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today about the financial fitness of the City of St. Louis. This is an important issue. Vita, pastors talking to congregations. I mean, this is biblical, and they're going to have plenty of scriptures to pull from. So when is this going to take place?
So actually, Money Smart Week is April 5th through 12th this year, and the Sunday that falls within that week is April 6th. And so what we're asking is for all the St. Louis pastors, city and county, to speak to a unified message day to their congregation at all of their services, addressing the needs for financial fitness in the family and talking about all that Money Smart Weeks is bringing to the table to help lay a better foundation for how that message gets to be carried out.
That's great. So in the congregation, in the churches, which is so important because people... We've got a lot of mega churches here in the St. Louis area. We've got a lot of churches that are very active with their parishioners and their congregations. It's important to talk about finances. Mm-hmm. And do we see or hear that enough in churches?
You know what? People look to their pastors as a conduit for information. Studies have shown that we trust our pastors to bring information back to us. Mm-hmm. And so in understanding that, when we've been speaking to them, they've received the information readily because they understand that it's just as important for the pastors and their boards to be financially astute and understand what's going on as it is for them to be able to speak to their parishioners and coach them to lean to their banks and lean to financial institutions and lean to the credit unions mm-hmm. to get the education that they themselves don't have.
I know a lot of things that have happened with reference to the churches really growing like they have across the mm-hmm. country. A lot of pastors I know have expressed to me in the past that they were just taught to preach. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize they were going to be running a business because churches have become businesses.
Right, right. But you know, for that business to be able to sustain the community the way it needs to, it has to be able to thrive. Mm-hmm. And in order for it to do so, we've got to find a way to help the members thrive as well. So it even lends to being able to educate the individuals about charitable giving so that we can give back to their churches for their continued development. Mm-hmm. You know, we all love it when our churches celebrate 100 years, mm-hmm. but we want to lend a hand for them to be able to celebrate 150 years so that our children's children can say, this is a church that was here when I was growing up, and be able to help those pastors understand how to uplift those families
that's before them weekly. People really support their churches.
Oh,
really
definitely. Definitely.
Alex,
so.
Bank On, Save Up. Tell us a lot about this initiative and why it even came about.
Sure. So I'll have to take you back quickly. About 3.5 years ago, a group of actually three ladies, so real important to mention them, Ramona Williams, Dorothy Brown, and Eileen Wolfington, came together after the FDIC study looked at unbanked and underbanked individuals all across the country.
When was this study done?
In 2009.
Okay.
So in 2009, but you don't get the report till 2010. These ladies sat and looked, and St. Louis had the worst disparity between African-American and non-African-Americans in terms of unbanked and underbanked individuals.
Now, when you say unbanked and underbanked, that means what?
That means unbanked is really simple. You don't have a checking account or a savings account at any financial institution. Underbanked, a little more complicated, but to simplify it, it really means that you use most of your financial business outside of the financial services. So, for instance, you may have a checking account, but you still cash your check and get money orders from other places.
Okay.
That's much more expensive.
That are not like official type of financial organizations in our institutions.
Absolutely. So to move forward, after their first meeting, we joined together about 25 banks initially and about 45 nonprofit or community development organizations.
This is regionally?
This is in the St. Louis metropolitan area, so both sides of the river. And what we found out is that we need to join together, not look at this as an independent deal, not look at it from Midwest Bank Center's standpoint, but look at the weight and the gravity of multiple banks coming together and saying this is a problem.
You've had all these banks come together and not feel competitive or anything like that?
There were some challenges in the beginning, but I think at this point, 3 years later, and us last year kicking off Bank On Save Up to get to your point, we looked at a bunch of different initiatives across the country, and that was the best one. This was a national model that had huge success in other metropolitan markets.
Now, you kicked off your campaign last year in February, and you're going to do that again this February at the end
Correct.
Of the month, and telling people again about what's going on. So in this last year of the campaign, have you seen more people going and banking?
Absolutely, we have. We will and really it was 10 months time because it was March 1st when we had our first kickoff. We've had results. We'll have over 2,000 families who have bank accounts now.
Great.
And the economic impact of that is substantial. That's over $2 million.
Wow.
That people in the St. Louis community have now saved and kept it in their pockets because they have a bank account, mm-hmm. and they're not going to money cashing places or check mm-hmm. cashing places. Or payday loans, because we don't just look at opening the account.
Okay.
Another exciting statistic for us mm-hmm. is one of our goals was to retain mm-hmm. 80% of those accounts. We're running at 97%.
That's exciting.
Because they're not just opening accounts.
That's the point.
They still have those accounts.
And they're saving. Great.
Right.
We're going to get back and talk about the education of young people as well that you're doing.
Sure.
But moving to the treasurer's office, Lisa, and Lisa is a part of history here. Your dad started the first black bank here in the city of St. Louis. Is that correct?
That is correct. My father was Clifton Gates, and he was one of the original co-founders of Gateway National Bank.
I know. I opened up my little savings account when I was a little kid. I was so happy. That was so neat to do that. My grandmother took me and my brothers and sister down there, and we signed up, and we were putting away to our little Christmas fund.
Yeah.
That was exciting as a kid to be a part of a banking institution like
That's
that.
Correct.
But you're with the treasurer's office now. Treasurer Tashara Jones has been adamant about the unbanked
Absolutely.
And underbanked situation here in the city of St. Louis.
Absolutely.
You have a venture coming up. Tell us about it.
Oh, we do. Well, we've got a lot of things going on right now. We're working with our employees. We're doing a lunch and learn series.
Excellent.
Every month we have a financial institution, a bank or a credit union come in, and they will discuss a specific topic while the employee enjoys their lunch. As a matter of fact, we've got Alex coming in next month to discuss mortgages. Are you ready? We've had tremendous positive feedback from the employees. They really enjoy the series and look forward to the upcoming mm-hmm. classes as well. This evening, we're doing a program at Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church.
So you're going into the churches.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we're working with BMO Harris Bank, and we're going to do financial literacy for the youth.
Excellent.
For about an hour.
So you're working with a cadre of the partners that are with the St. Louis Region Unbanked Task
exactly.
Force.
Exactly. That's
and
correct.
And making sure that that education is happening within
correct.
City. Now, recently, all City Hall employees had to go
mandatory direct deposit.
Direct deposit. And how successful was that?
Tremendously successful. We had a huge bank fair. And we had over 20 different banks and credit unions present, mm-hmm. and the employees had the option to go around to choose mm-hmm. which financial institution best met their needs and to set up direct deposit and go forth. Not everyone really wanted to go direct deposit, so they had the option of doing a pay card through Skylight.
Is it amazing that anyone can answer this question, that you can find these days that a lot of people don't have banking accounts? I mean, I'm thinking, I'm like everybody else is like me and was raised like me. Yeah. I lived in this little bubble for so long. I had to realize, no, Robin, some folks were, you know, just do things differently, maybe had a bad relationship. I mean, is that a surprise to banking institutions or people who deal with finance?
It's not a surprise once you start delving into the issues that and some of the barriers that were there. Some barriers are systemic, some barriers are generational, some barriers are rightfully so because of bad experiences at banks and credit unions. So it's not one silver bullet on why people don't trust or don't have bank accounts at a mm-hmm. bank or a credit union. But what we do by working together as banks and nonprofits, people trust the nonprofits that they go to. For example, a People's or a Beyond Housing or a Better Family List.
Grace Hill, those groups like
don't
that.
Don't get mad at Robin because I just named three. But people trust them.
Right.
So when they're partnered with our task force and with our group, that means by default, they trust the bank. And,
right.
and at this time, they really should, because we're together. We all came together, 20 different banks. Mm-hmm. It's 20 banks that are part of Bank On Save Up today. And we all decided that we're going to have at least these minimum criteria for a free checking account. And 18 of the banks have a second chance option.
Okay. So we could talk about this forever, and mm-hmm. because there's a huge right. need in the St. Louis area. But April 6th is the date for
April
preachers.
6th for the pastors.
The excellent.
Message.
And Bank On Save Up is coming up, and
February
we're looking
28th.
Forward to 28th, and we're looking for more information coming from the treasurer's office. I want to thank you all so much for coming in and talking with us about financial fitness in the city of St. Louis. We look forward to seeing you on the next City Corner.